Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner. A couple of weeks back, we had a program on the teacher contract and with teachers alone to talk about their feelings about the contract. And it was really a very mixed message on that show. Mixed message in that many teachers thought there were many good things in what they heard about this contract. And we're not really opposed to reform ideas, especially ideas where teachers would have more say in how schools are managed and run. But there are a lot of questions that were unanswered in the contract. And so that was on the eve of the vote. We could not put together a show with teachers and others before the vote again because we were in the middle of our WEAA fund drive and had too many shows booked and couldn't get one on, which was unfortunate because it's an issue that's very near and dear to my heart and sense and conscience about our schools and our education, because I think a great deal about education and teachers and our students all across the state. But we are going to continue with it. So today, we had a commitment from Marietta English, who is the president of the Baltimore Teachers Union, to join us here on the show. She was going to be in conversation with Peter French, who teaches 8th grade language arts and 8th grade social studies at City Neighbors Charter School in Baltimore. And Peter was one of the teachers who led the Vote No campaign with the contract. Well, not led the campaign, but was clearly very forceful in that, and was seen on the news encouraging other teachers not to vote yes on this contract. And they did not, as a matter of fact. They voted no. So there were a lot of unanswered questions, I think, both that the Baltimore Teachers Union, Marietta English, and Dr. Andres Alonso, head of the school system, have to answer about this contract. We look forward to having Dr. Alonso on here very soon. And because it seemed as I read through pieces of the contract and then looked at it again a little bit here this afternoon when Peter came in, the contract really is a futuristic contract. It talks about what we will do. Now, what does that mean? That's what we're going to talk about today. But Marietta English, we got an email just before we went on the air saying that she could not make it. Rather than cancel the show, we asked Peter French to please stay with us and called out to many teachers and calling out to teachers now at 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888, or write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com to join in this conversation. We want to hear your thoughts. And if Marietta English is listening, we'd love to have her call in and be part of the show as well, because this is a very important subject. 410-319-8888. Well, I just got a note here from that little chat thing you can get up on your computer from Christina that said Marietta English is calling in. She can make it, which is wonderful, and we do deeply appreciate that. So we'll wait for her call, and then as soon as she calls in, she'll be brought right on the airways. 410-319-8888. Or, by the way, you can log on to steinershow.org and watch us in progress with our new streaming channel as part of our new work with Free Speech TV, people watching us across the nation. So the eyes of the nation are upon you, Baltimore teachers. Peter French.
That's a little scary.
pardon? Say again? Okay. And we have Zeke Cohen, Berzoff Cohen, who also joins us by phone when we thought that Marietta was not calling in, to have her join us as well. He joined us as well. And he's a former city school teacher who is a co-founder of Intersection, a nonprofit that works to bridge schools and communities. And thank you for being our bridge today as well, Zeke.
You betcha.
So let's talk about this, Peter. I want to know why you worked against this contract and why you encouraged so many teachers to vote against it.
First off, I'd like to say that I'm here speaking for myself. There are a lot of different opinions out there on teachers, and that's great.
Oh, baby, one second. Sure. I just got a note here again. I'm sorry, so many things going on.
Please, absolutely.
Jessica Alden is on the phone with us. She's on the phone on behalf of Marietta English. And Jessica, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Here, he's on our negotiating team, and he's going to speak with you. And Ms. English should be in the room in a few minutes.
Okay. Who'd you say was going to be on?
Lee Rutledge.
Lee Rutledge. Okay, fine.
Hello, this is Lee.
Hi, Lee. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right, so stay with us here. Okay.
Great.
So, Peter, I asked you why you led the campaign.
Well, I did not lead the campaign.
I keep saying that to you, but you were one of the leaders of a number of teachers who opposed this campaign, were actively encouraging teachers to vote against it.
The amazing thing was, the amazing thing was that a couple of friends and I just decided that we could be against it and sit back and just vote, or we could do something about it. And we did things a bare minimum of just doing some leaflets out with a couple of thousand leaflets, and then we were there on the day of the vote and talking to people. But you wouldn't believe there were a whole number of other teachers that were present and had been doing a lot of work from their own perspective. And I think that's the really interesting thing about this is that the fact that we have a contract, but it's pretty controversial, and it has brought a lot of teachers' opinions and ideas and activity out. So my own opinion is that in the last 40 years that we've had a union contract with the BTU, it's been based on seniority. And it's not a perfect system. It's a way to deal with arbitrary decisions that a principal may make around your pay. It's a system that's the basis for a lot of union contracts in this country and around the world. And there's a lot of fairness about it, but it's not perfect. But what we had in the last 6 or 8 months that our union and Dr. Alonzo were negotiating is a whole new plan put together. And I want to say real clearly here that certainly for myself and a lot of teachers I know, if there's something that's going to benefit them and their classroom and their students and their schools and the city of Baltimore, they're going to be for it. There's just no question in my mind they're going to be for it. But this plan and the way it was put together and the way it was presented to teachers rather than given to us rather than having us be part of it is one of the things that really made me personally angry and frustrated. I mean, honestly, it's a huge sign of disrespect that they ask us to have the system that we've had for 40 years and then suddenly in 2 weeks with some meetings from the union to suddenly throw out everything we had and accept something. And I have the contract in front of me, the tentative agreement, that speaks so much about a future contract that we really don't understand. It's not been written yet.
Well, if you could, just for people who have not read the contract, and Wardy, we're going to come to your call. You're a correctional ed teacher. We don't hang up. We're going to come to the other calls as well. And before we turn to Lee Rutledge, I wish you would just read the first paragraph of the contract.
Absolutely.
So people get a sense of what you're talking about.
This is the actual contract, the tentative agreement signed 9-23-10. It says, "It will take a period of time to develop the concept, prepare it for implementation, and create a research base and body of evidence upon which the Baltimore Professional Practices and Student Learning Program concept will improve professional practices, increase student learning, and increase career acceleration and opportunities. The BTU is agreeable to help develop and facilitate the various components necessary to develop the concept." I mean, that's great. I think a lot of teachers would just like to say, okay, put that all together and then come back to us.
So, Lee Rutledge, so I wonder how you think teachers should respond to a contract that opens like that, but the entire contract seems to be very vague.
Well, I'd say that I kind of love how teachers are currently responding to the contract. I think it's really an exciting moment in Baltimore that we have an unprecedented number of people that have turned out in a union election, a contract election that's meaningful. I think it's an incredible sign of how much Baltimore City teachers care about the future achievement of Baltimore City school children. It's an incredible sign. And, you know, the tentative agreement that was reached, I think the vote on it was a vote for more information. And I think that I'm just coming right now out of negotiations. And by the way, I'd like to say that I'm an English teacher. I teach English at National Academy Foundation High School. So in terms of teachers being involved in the process, I'm a teacher. I'm sitting around a table with other teachers, and I'm coming from that room right now. Having listened to our membership in the line for the vote, during the vote, the result of the vote, and now we're back after our professional development meeting at Quest, getting feedback, and now we're with open ears. We're listening. And we're back at the table, and I'm really excited about the reaction of teachers. I think it's really healthy to have this many people participating in putting a new system together.
I appreciate that, Lee, and I appreciate what you're saying. But if everybody's excited about the teachers turning down the contract, why did the union agree in the first place to put the contract up before it was ready?
Well, I think the contract, we're going to move forward with the contract. I don't think I've heard, and I've been in a lot of schools in the last couple of weeks, I don't think I've heard a lot of people say that they didn't like the ideas. But there were things that we can do more with, and I think that there is an opportunity here to clarify and define. So I don't think this is a question of it being ready, and then we're going to come back and have something that is perfectly ready. I think it's a process, and I'm really excited about the number of teachers that are participating in that process right now.
Well, I think I'm glad Lee is excited, and I think it is more than just information, though, Lee. I really do. I think that there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. You can send out the tentative agreement time and again, but there's just so much that's going to be defined in the future. It talks about the establishing a joint oversight committee, members from the CEO's selection and the BTU. And actually, the first thing it says is they're going to define the full scope and objective of this. Now, you're going to do it after we've already voted, so we have to trust you. Some of us can do that. I'm not sure I'm ready to do that right now because there are, again, so many things here that suddenly you negotiated it. You gave us actually 2 weeks. There were many people who were putting out there, let's postpone it. Let's give us more time. Come out and talk to us about it. But you didn't. And then you had it for 3 hours. You tagged on a couple of hours at the union office. But I was in that line. And I waited in line for an hour and a half. It was like something marked from Monty Python. If you had to be there, went through the auditorium, down to the stage, up and around. Then you finally got in the line, and it was pandemonium. And it's because there's so much paperwork in this new contract. We're going to trust our union that can't even handle a union vote? I'm sorry. I'm not ready to do that unless there's a lot of changes.
Let's hear what some teachers have to say. Zeke, you want us to have a comment? Then we'll go to the phones and go to Joan and Robin who are holding on.
Sure. Mark, I think the issue that I see in this is the gap that exists between teachers as practitioners and policymakers. Teachers, I think, justifiably feel a lot of tension when, policies come out like the No Child Left Behind Act, which basically said that all children would be proficient 100% by the year 2014. So as a teacher, you're then told that you need to meet this requirement, and in fact, your job is on the line. And, as a community, we're moving towards these reforms, which would tie in your pay and really your livelihood, your job, to your students' performance. So I think a lot of teachers feel fear and a sense of, I'm not sure these people really represent me in these conversations. I had some really good teacher friends who are really good teachers and who would have stood to make a lot more money who voted against this thing because, as Mr. French alluded to, they felt like the process was done horribly, that it was too quick, that it was rushed, that it was behind closed doors, and that really the teacher's voice, and I know that the union was intimately involved in the negotiations, but that a true teacher's voice was not represented. So my own wishes for it are that in redrafting the contract, that there's a real effort to include teachers in this conversation.
Let's get another caller in here as well. Joan, you've been holding on since the beginning of the show. You're on the air. All right, Joan, you there?
Hello, yes, I'm here.
Hi, Joan, you're on the air.
Hi, I would just like to say I'm a veteran teacher, 34 and a half years in Baltimore City Public Schools.
How many years?
Hello, yes, I'm here. 34 and a half.
All right.
And I want to say that I voted against the union contract because it's asking me to ratify a contract to which someone can enter the language for it later. And so I'm giving you a blank check to put things in later on when you work it out. And I don't think that's fair to teachers because I'm not going to write a blank check, and they can go back as much as they want to until they have the exact language in the contract that I have to abide by. Then I'm going to vote against the contract. And let me say this. If they want to put something in that's futuristic, and they haven't worked it out because MSDE, the Maryland State Department of Education, has not worked out how they want to do the evaluations for teachers in the state of Maryland, then let them put it in another contract when they work it out. I've been teaching for 34 and a half years, and I don't make two times $2,000 per year that I've been in this system. And I have a master's degree, and I'm a very good teacher, and this is good for young teachers, and I have no problem with them moving up the scale for getting a higher salary earlier because we need good teachers, and they should not work at a level of poverty. But I am also not in favor of you chopping off the heads of veteran teachers who have held this system together, who are now blamed for all of its ills, which we are not responsible for. But I am not going to vote for a contract to which you can add the language later. That's idiotic.
But, you know, I want to pick up what you were just saying here, because there's a sentiment here that was on the show last week, the other week when we did the first show. I heard from many teachers over the last couple of weeks, heard it again last night when I went to watch teachers' responses to the movie Superman, that senior teachers, teachers who've been in for a long time, are really feeling highly disrespected in this process, that they are the cause of the problems of all the students in Baltimore City, and that it's all about new young teachers, many, and I'm not playing a game here with racial issues, but many of whom are white, and many of our older teachers are African-American. And I'm glad to see that. I mean, I think these are two people obviously came together to say no to this contract, two groups. But I think it's an important bridge here to breach, and curious what your response is as a teacher, and I'm curious what Lee's response is to so many senior teachers feeling like they're the ones who are getting the brunt of this.
Well, my perspective, this woman should come in and take my chair in the radio station here. She did
I'd love to have her on the air.
Yeah,
she
was a great job. She did an excellent job. You know, one of the things that's out there that I don't see it as senior versus younger, but, I mean, there is some sense of that, you know, all we need is young teachers in the classroom. But, you know, I work with some very young teachers, and I think they are marvelous. And I want them to have more money, and I want them to stay in the system.
Because you've been in the system for how long, 10 years, 12 years?
19.
19.
Can you believe that? I know. I want them to stay. But you know what, Mark? There's a notion out there that teachers will stay only if they get more money. And that is simply not true. We're not sitting around waiting to work hard. All we need to do is get that money. We are working hard every day, young and old teachers alike. And I was very, you know, the union came to our school and all they talked about was money, how much money we were going to make. And when we were at the poly, they were passing out their literature, and on the cover was, here's how much money you'd make with this contract. But you know what? They just don't understand us. They really don't.
Lee?
Well, to go back a couple statements, I just want to say that we're going to address the voting issues, and certainly we're hearing everybody's concerns, and the next go-around is going to be different in terms of voting. I can't speak to the specifics of what the new contract is going to be, and it's kind of frustrating not to be able to do so, but we're listening to members. And so we're right now back at the negotiating table with open ears, listening and going forward. And, I'm hoping that we'll be able to be back on the air to explain the details of a new proposal that will excite a lot more teachers. Do I think that a future deal, do I think that a past deal was solely about money? Of course not. I think there's a lot that goes into this, and I'm excited for where we're going to end up and what we're going to be able to talk about to teachers, I think, is about the profession as a whole.
Yeah, Lee, I just wanted to say, I know you're working very hard, and I totally believe that your intentions are good, but, you know, it's good to hear that you want to listen to teachers, but you can't listen to teachers by sitting around the table with Alonzo. I think you and Dr. Alonzo and Marietta have to get out and actually talk to us. That didn't happen in the last 6 or 8 months when you were putting this together, and now you have the opportunity. Don't go writing up a whole bunch of new material for the contract. Talk to us first. Come out and have some meetings. There's a lot of questions, concerns, suggestions. If you really want to improve classroom participation and classroom performance, teachers are the people that know how to do it.
Let me go to the phones here. Go ahead, just Lee, and then I'm going to bring Zeke back in, but I want to get Robin of Baltimore's called in as well. But go ahead and finish, Lee.
So I just wanted to say that, you know, we are going to be out at every school. I certainly have not been sitting around a table just with Alonzo. I actually am in the classroom all day teaching, and when I'm not in the classroom, you know, the last few weeks I've been out at different schools every day, but certainly the time schedule didn't allow me to be at more than 15 schools. So now it's about all of us on the negotiations team and all the teachers that have been part of the process and part of these conversations, talking to each other, all our colleagues across the city having conversations, which I think have already been happening, but it's obvious that we need more time to have more conversations. And I think we do need to be in every school, and that's exactly what's going to happen.
That's great to hear.
410-319-8888. Robin, you're on the air.
Hi. One of my biggest concerns was the money They say this is not going to cost that much. $60 million is supposed to come from Race to the Top money and education jobs grant. But that seems awfully short-sighted. And if it's really true that Dr. Alonzo is hopeful that 94% of teachers become model teachers, that's going to be an extremely expensive endeavor. And I know there's some other districts that have instituted similar compensation pay for teachers. Namely, Denver has what they call ProComp. And in order to do that, they had a huge, gigantic public referendum on it, whether to do it, and then they had a tax hike, which the voters had to pay to vote for. So everyone knew going in, this is going to cost more money, and this is how much it's going to cost. And I don't like the idea that we have this paid for 3 years, and then there's a big question mark. So I wanted to ask the union representative if there are any plans to actually discuss the money involved and how this is going to be paid for.
Lee?
When we are out in the next few weeks after we reach another agreement, which I hope will be soon, we will be able to talk about the details of exactly where the money's coming from and exactly why it's sustainable. Obviously, we wouldn't agree to something unless we believed it was sustainable, and that's both the district and the union. We have, obviously, the resources of the national union looking at the books, and we won't agree to something unless we think it's sustainable over the long haul.
Well, it's interestingly, in the contract we have here, it says, therefore, prior to June 30th, 2011, next June, the parties agreed to establish the following: demonstration of administrative capacity to implement the concept, development of an infrastructure to implement the concept. So, it sounds like, even with the money, it sounds like this isn't going to happen until after the contract is approved, and then we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. That's just what I'm just reading right from the tentative agreement. But tell me if I'm wrong.
I could speak to the specifics of why that particular language is in there and what that speaks to. But since that agreement has already been subject to a vote, and we're moving forward with negotiations, I'd rather wait to speak to specifics until we have something else out in front of the membership.
That makes sense. Yeah, sure.
So, all right, well, maybe we can have this conversation on air with some people from the city school system as well as the teachers union and the teachers for a little marathon here on the air. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Zeke, do you want to make a comment before you go to the next caller?
Sure. I would just, again, say that I think it is now clearly the onus of the teachers union and of the Dr. Alonzo and of anyone who is a proponent of this contract to really get out there and show to the teachers that they're serious about including them in this process, and that that's actually what's going to make the difference here, is if the teachers feel like they had a voice in it, they feel like they were a real genuine part of the process, not just that they got handed something to vote on, then I think you're going to see them support it in a much greater way.
Back to the phones at 410-319-8888. Lee, I do appreciate you being part of this, stepping in here. Let us go to Aaron in East Baltimore. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. Right. You know, with this contract, is indicative of the fact that BTU has a leadership that has failed you all as teachers, and quite frankly, I believe that you all, the first chance you get, need to get rid of Marietta English and Loretta Johnson and get new leadership, because these two ladies sold you all out in presenting you that contract, and they failed you in negotiating a contract not only that was not clear, but that was not conducive to your needs. I think the first thing you need to do after this contract is demand better leadership from Marietta, because you aren't getting that at this moment.
But I mean, there's always this clearly is an issue, and I appreciate Aaron being raising these issues with us. And there's issues we've talked about on the air before. I think Lee, you might have been part of those the issues on the air when I raised the issue about how the vote takes place and where it takes place, and how to make the vote more democratic. But I want to ask, before we get there, let me ask another question, because I unless you both have comments on what Aaron was saying.
Well, I think a lot of teachers are thinking that, Aaron. I think that there have been moments when leadership of the union has been good, and this is one of the lowest levels I've ever seen. There were a lot of angry people. on the day of the election for a number of reasons. We didn't know why we were there. We didn't know the whole process. There were no – they talked about six information classrooms. I was passing out leaflets, and I had a number of people come to me and ask me where they were. I didn't know. I never saw them. It certainly doesn't make sense to actually have an informational classroom on the day of the election. Why not do that, you know, weeks in advance?
Apart from the issues of the procedure and the process of the vote, I think that the leadership of the union can sort of be defended here in a way of looking at the unprecedented participation, both for and against the previous deal, and the fact that we really didn't see a great number of people rejecting the ideas here. We're seeing this as a vote for information. We're seeing this as a vote for a conversation and a continued conversation. And I think it is a testament to the leadership of the Baltimore Teachers Union that we are having an incredibly passionate debate about the future of this city's schools and the children in this city. I think that's an incredibly good sign.
Well, Lee, I just hope you're not making a mistake here, because if it's just information – that's not enough. The woman who was the teacher for more years than me, who was on here, you didn't really complete the contract. You have to finish the job, bring it to us, and respect us enough that we can make that decision. This is kind of a lot of trust involved in it. And it didn't work.
There's some issues here that were raised last time teachers were on the air, and we'll go back to Michael and Robin and Lee, who are – oh, Lee's already on. I'm sorry. Robin and Michael are holding on. These are the issues that were raised. One of them was this agreement is not clear about how teachers will be evaluated. Evaluated on what? And, if test scores are the evaluation, part of the evaluation process, what happens to history teachers? To science teachers,
social studies teachers,
to social studies teachers, to art teachers, to music teachers, to physical education teachers, teachers whose skills that they impart are not directly on these tests. So does that mean a social studies teacher will make $40,000 a year, but a math teacher will make $90,000 a year? I mean,
I can speak to that.
Yeah, go ahead, Lee.
Okay, so actually, that it was a common misconception that really is important to deal with. The issue of evaluations tied to student performance is something that's happening at the state level, and it's going to happen anyhow. That was not a part of this contract, and it's certainly not the case that people that teach some things would be rewarded and other people wouldn't be. The state is currently developing a new evaluation tool that will go into effect in the next couple of years that will have a component of student growth. For the first time ever, it's a bargainable item that we can actually talk about the evaluation tool that's used on teachers. And I think at the end of this process, we're going to find that we end up with a better evaluation tool than we currently have. But that is an independent process of this contract.
Well, it's interesting in the contract that we just turned down, and maybe that's why we turned it down, it says BTU and school system will negotiate the new evaluation tool in accordance with the state guidelines. So is that what you're saying, Lee?
Yes. The race to the top, Maryland passed the Maryland Education Reform Act in order to change laws, and that was happening all across the country, in order to make us eligible for Race to the Top money. And that change in state law is what's prompting the change for the evaluation tool. That is not tied to our contract.
Well, that still leaves unanswered questions, I think, about how the evaluation process takes place, and I can see a battle brewing between, let's say, teachers, whether they're represented by BTE or MSTA, questioning Nancy Grasmick and the state about how you evaluate teachers. I mean, this is a huge issue. Let's go to the heart of this. How is this going to change public education? How is this going to change the nature of how we teach our children? And what becomes important in our schools and who's important in our schools? 410-319-8888. We'll come back. Zeke Berzov-Cohen is with us as well. Peter French. Lee Rutledge joins us by phone from the BTU. And I see Leslie's calling in as another teacher, as well as Robin. We'll get to both those calls when we come back. 410-319-8888 is the number here. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland State Mortgage Late Don't Wait program. For more information and personal counseling, the number is 1-877-462-7555. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, and the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the University of Maryland Heart Center, where expert cardiologists, cardiac surgeons, nurses, and support staff have built a nationally recognized program focused on prevention, treatment, and rehabilitation. For a virtual tour of the Heart Center, you can go to www.umm.edu/heart. We are joined by a number of people. We were going to have Marietta English. She couldn't make it. Lee Rutledge is here, who is a representative of the Baltimore Teachers Union, along with Peter French, who teaches 8th grade language arts and 6th to 8th grade social studies at City Neighbors Charter School in Baltimore. And Zeke Berzoff-Cohen joined us at the last minute because we didn't know what we were going to do when we thought the Teachers Union wasn't showing up. We're glad he's with us. He's a former public school teacher, co-founder of Intersection, The Intersection, excuse me, a nonprofit that works to bridge schools and communities. 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. Let's go right to the phones. And Leslie, you're on the air.
Good evening.
Hi, Leslie.
How are you?
I'm well. Welcome.
All right. Well, straight to the point. I think unions do a lot to give people, individuals, voice where, especially in the workplace, where they normally wouldn't have voices speaking only for themselves. And I think that's a great thing. But I do also think that at a point, the union, a lot of times, like that lady called in a little bit earlier, especially in the negotiations, a lot of times, man, they be looking to, they're not, in my opinion, they look to protect the margin. I mean, you
know. The margin?
Yeah, because the union collects dues from the members. Now, the union can only collect, let's just say, a percentage of a person's salary, because I was in the union before. And, you know, they only can collect a percentage of that. All right, now, once they go a contract, let's say a contract is a year, 2 years, and they get used to collecting a certain percentage from their union, their members, in terms of dues and stuff, then they could start to count that money and think in terms of that money is permanent. And it's obvious that when they get into these contracts and they make it seem like that the employees are the ones coming up short, in reality, if the union would be prepared to change their margin in terms of how much they dues, then the employees could still make basically what they've been making. But then notwithstanding that, you got to remember, now in times of plenty, when we got money, the society got money to spend and all that extra, and the municipalities can collect funds and stuff for services and stuff like that, then I can appreciate, you know, paying people in kind for what they do. But you got to remember, you know, this is hard times in general. Now, you're talking about when teachers, that profession, that's, even though that generates money over time, but now money, what I call now money, the money you got to pay your gas and electric with.
Okay, so what are you taking this with?
Our point is this, right? I think that the union should consider the economy. The only reason why the powers that be, the buyers, are holding back on the money is because they got to realize that this is out-of-pocket money that I'm paying these people.
All right, well, let me let our guest respond. Peter, what do you think
about
that?
I can honestly say that the union's own finances have never been a part of the conversation that I've had. I honestly can tell you, and I don't think I'm betraying too much of internal negotiation talk here, to say that what's best for students and teachers in Baltimore is at the front of everybody's mind for the Baltimore Teachers Union. I'd also like to say, going back to the state testing issue and where we're headed with evaluation, that we have a lot of challenges that we're facing. You know, we have two state tests in Maryland, the MSA and the HSA, neither of which are designed to measure student growth. And those changes in evaluation are going to happen anyhow. And one of the reasons that I'm so supportive of a new contract that deals with a new reality is because I feel like we need to be in front of what's happening in this country and in this state in education. And that's why I think it's so important that we're moving forward in a direction of change.
You know, Lee, moving forward, you know, just to move forward doesn't mean necessarily good. It doesn't necessarily mean the best thing for students and classrooms. I haven't seen anything in terms of, background information or studies or other cities that have this kind of program. If you had it, if this was working in 10 other cities and it had gone to such great success and students were doing wonderful and teachers were becoming better teachers, I think you would have had a lot of people on the bandwagon, but it's not there. I mean, just to move forward, just to have reform, isn't necessarily the right way to go.
410-319-8888 is the number here. And Sharon in Catonsville, you're on the air.
Well, yes, one of my biggest concerns with the contract was that I think it's a little short-sighted. It certainly is open-ended in that the evaluation of teachers certainly will be tied to becoming a model or lead teacher. I think equally as important, management's job is to protect the store. The fact that management is presenting itself to say all these teachers can become model and lead teachers, we know that's not true. And we know that University of Maryland did research to say most employees are satisfactory. So I'm very concerned with that propaganda. And I'm concerned that the union hasn't considered that if teachers can set their salary, I say I want to make $95,000 a year. I want to work 300 days out of the year, 18 hours out of the day. I have just cut into the heart and soul of unions. Therefore, 5 years down the road, why do I need a union? I'm bargaining for myself. I'm setting my salary. I'm creating my own working conditions. I will pay agency fee, and at the moment you get 60% of the people paying agency fee and not paying membership. How does that impact the union with collective bargaining? So I think the union really needs to rethink this and really needs to look deeper at this and understand that teachers are not just sitting out there saying, hey, listen, I want more conversation. But in fact, teachers are looking very, very closely at the positive and negative that's going on with this particular contract.
Hmm. Sharon, are you a teacher?
Yes, I am.
And did you vote on the contract?
Yes, I did.
How'd you vote?
I just told you how I voted.
You voted no.
I had absolute concerns
right.
about this contract. It's open-ended, and it leaves us all to be vulnerable. And what it does is I think the teachers have sent a very strong, clear, positive message that as Dr. Grasmick and other people around the country and in Baltimore City do your work, you do your work closely and carefully because teachers are going to examine. Listen, if you want us as teachers to teach children to be able to do higher order thinking and to analyze and synthesize information, we're doing the same thing with the information they put in front of us, and teachers have come out to say this is not good enough, that this is, in fact, dangerous and can be harmful to collective bargaining in years to come. And
so,
harmful to the teaching profession. Because, listen, you're going to draw people in who want to go after a salary. If I figure out a way to get children to meet certain standards and get high achievement, I will not be collaborative in my effort. I am going to work independent of other teachers, and teachers are going to be competing. So you're not going to get people into the teaching profession and remaining in the teaching profession who are interested in children. You're going to get people who are interested in salaries and being competitive and going after those salaries. I think a better way of looking at this would be to set up model schools and set up professional development schools for those schools that collectively work and move achievement for students. Let those teachers then make the $85,000 to $90,000 a year. And for those schools that go beyond that, I mean, really hit the ball out of the park, allow them to become professional development schools. Allow them to be model schools where people come in and look at the practice of teachers.
Sharon, I do appreciate the call. One of the things I really do, I mean, I think that the teachers have called in tonight, and the teachers I've been meeting, Peter and Lee, and then we'll go to Robin and Jerry, the next caller's up, really are on the ball and know what it is that they're looking for. And I think that there has been this kind of wave of sentiment in the establishment, in political establishment in the state and in the country, and among some citizenry, that teachers are the problem.
Yes, yes.
And I think it's because people aren't listening to the teachers.
That's exactly right. And you know, there's no one, I mean, and it sounds so trite, but it really, there's no one who knows more about the classroom than the teachers that are in the classroom. And yet somehow these outside experts have made judgments about us. And really it's all that they say is that it's a question of just getting rid of the bad teachers. Well, you know, there's a lot of teachers out there that are working very hard, doing everything they can. That, you know, we're talking about class size. They never talk about that anymore. That's a gone issue as far as many people are concerned. But it really, it's fundamental. It's fundamental to how to improve the achievement of your students. But that's not mentioned in this contract.
I couldn't agree more that it's incredibly important that teachers are the experts, that that's recognized, and that's at the center of any work we do. That absolutely has to be the foundation for a contract, has to be the foundation for this district, is that teachers are already moving kids forward in this district, and I think we can do that to an even greater extent. I think teachers have to sort of also become activists like never before. I think teachers do have to be out there, and I think that's what's great about what's happening right now with this conversation. But we absolutely, I think, are the experts with what's working in schools. I think that we need a contract that is going to recognize what is working and help make that standard for everybody.
Let's go back to the phones. I want to get to Robin and Jerry, the next two callers up. Zeke, you've been really good to come on the last second. You have some observations that you've been hearing?
Just to pick up on what the last caller said and something you alluded to before, Mark, one thing I am concerned about in reading this contract was, will it destabilize the culture of collaboration in schools? Will teachers start competing for higher salaries? What I think was good about it was that if 80% of the teachers agree, they can do a lot to form sort of the guiding principles of their schools. But in any sort of merit system, what I'm concerned about is that the best interests of kids are for all teachers to be working together, for everyone in that school to have the common purpose. And when you start differentiating people by money, will you see people start cheating in their test scores? Will you see people backstabbing each other? Will it destroy the culture of collaboration in schools?
That's a great point. Collaboration is the heart and soul of our school, and this agreement really speaks to nothing about that. There's nothing about it in there.
I think that your points are very, very valid, and I certainly don't think you would ever see a contract come from us. While I can't speak about the previous tentative agreement or about the future one, I don't think you would ever see an agreement that would promote any of those things. I certainly think that collaboration and teachers working together, teacher entrepreneurship and teacher ideas have to be at the center of our work and at the center of moving kids forward. I would totally agree with that and don't think we would ever have a contract that would support competition at the expense of collaboration.
But Lee, why isn't there anything in here about collaboration? In the past, if you would never do that and you're on the negotiating committee and you hadn't certainly talked to us about collaboration, why isn't there anything at all in here about collaboration?
Well, what I don't want to do right now is advise you to go back and read the document more carefully, because that's not the document we're working with. We're listening right now, and I'm hearing very much things I agree with. So if the next deal needs to make those points more explicitly, then I'm going to work inside the negotiation team to make sure that happens, because I think we agree, and I want to make sure that our next contract is going to reflect that. So right now I'm listening, and I think that there's a lot of agreement out here that we can get to for the next tentative agreement.
Let's get a couple more teachers online here at 410-319-8888. Robin, and then Jerry right after Robin. Robin, you're on the air.
There's several points I want to make. One is that the Lee may said about the money earlier. Well, just trust us. We know we would never do something that's not sustainable. And I think that teachers are a little too smart for that. I think we really would like to see exactly where you're getting your numbers from, and it'll make us feel a lot better. So I think that when you present the next contract to teachers, there needs to be a lot of discussion about how this is sustainable and exactly where this money is coming from, and not a brush off saying, well, believe us, we have your back, because we don't feel very good about this. My second comment is about the negotiations themselves. One of the reasons I think that there was such a backlash is that this was all done completely in secret, which I know is a union thing. I mean, that's sort of normal for negotiations, but why not give us all updates? YouTube, put it all on YouTube. Why not? We should know what's going on, and we should all have a part of it. They're doing that in Chicago right now. The teachers union and Chicago Public Schools are doing all their negotiations completely openly. So this is not a special thing.
Really?
Is it's that something that we could do.
They're doing that in Chicago? That's interesting.
Yeah, they are doing it in Chicago.
Robin, go ahead.
I'm sorry. The new head of the Chicago Teachers Union brought in 50 teachers to the first day of negotiations and said everything is going to be open. And so that's what they're doing.
Wow.
Well, I just would say I used to be a union organizer, and we would contact our membership constantly during union negotiations. This is something that the present union leadership and the administration has decided to do, to keep it in the dark. There's no law that says that a union can't reveal to its membership what's going on with the contract. I mean, if they want to make sure the union is behind it, they've already talked to them about it. They continue to talk to them about it, and that's one of the enormous fallacies of what they've done here.
Lee, tell me how you respond to that.
Well, to the first point about more public information about the money, more public information about everything, I totally agree. And I would say to the caller, great idea.
What's wrong with total transparency is the biggest idea.
You know,
I
think that part of transparency is what I've been doing, which is, you know, I teach all day and then I make it to as many schools as I possibly can and have as many conversations as I possibly can.
No, but I'm just curious.
I'm here right now.
What do you think about the idea about how they're handling the negotiations in Chicago as opposed to how we do it here in Baltimore behind closed doors?
I'm not sure that I think that negotiating on YouTube would be an effective way to actually do anything other than make spectacle and amplify maybe only some teacher voices. I think we actually need to get something that's right for the teachers and the students in this city, and I think we need to hear from everybody.
Let's go back to the phones. I think this is an interesting. Robin, you can hang out if you like for a minute. 410-319-8888. Jerry, you're on the air.
I agree with some of the statements that were made, but I also see a very limited vision going on here. This, for me, having read it, for real read it, and then asked field reps about it, is a great opportunity for future collaboration amongst teachers and the school system. I see this left us with an opportunity, a more open opportunity, to say this works, this doesn't work. I don't think we necessarily have to start with a plate and whatever is on it, that's all we're going to eat, and we're not adding anything to it. I think this is a great opportunity for us to work together to see what works, what doesn't work, and then tweak it over time. That's not my understanding that once this is done, that's it, point blank, and we can't make any changes. That's not the way teaching works. One day this works, the next day it might not work. Why not take this opportunity to say, this is more than money. This is a good chance. See, first of all, we will never make the kind of money that we should be making as teachers. So any teacher that's signing this for the money is not in a smart mode. We should be making millions. We're not making millions. We'll never make millions. So moving along, why don't we look at this as an opportunity for the union to say, hey, this is a blank slate. This is a draft. Can we all come together at the table and pull this together, make this make some sense? Does this work for you? Okay, then let's go back to the table and make it work a little bit better for us. This is an opportunity for an open dialogue. Now, I'm not understanding some of the comments of where it has to be perfect, first day, that's it, no changes, and if you don't explain a perfect contract to me day one, then it's wrong. That was not the impression that I got.
Peter?
Well, you know, I certainly understand what Jerry's talking about, and she's raised some good points. I guess for me personally, I want to know a lot more information. It affects my working life. It affects my family. There are just so many gaps here. I'm willing to, you know, try some new ideas. There's no question that's what this contract is all about, but there's just not enough direction. So much of it is going to be decided after we decide to take it on as a contract, and that's not good enough for me.
Lee?
I hear both comments, I think. I think I hear a lot of the comments about how much of an opportunity this is, and I hear the concern that, you know, the stakes are high and this affects people's lives and families and professions, and I think that's exactly what we're doing in the coming weeks is we're at the table and we're saying let's get this right. I don't think that That doesn't mean that we're not going to have flexibility in a contract and in a model going forward. I think we're going to have to because of what we're responding to, because of the national climate that we're in, because of the fact that we're facing changes at the state level. I think we have to have a contract that is flexible and recognizes the reality of where we're going. But certainly I think that there are things we can make more specific and things we can get right, and I'm excited about the conversations we're going to have doing that.
Well, Lee, tell me this: how does this actually move us forward? What are the specifics? And also, again, if we can talk more about where has this been tested? Where is this contract and these ideas? Where did you get the idea for these? Because clearly, I mean, it's unfortunate, but I have no idea.
Well, you know, I certainly think that at a certain point, you have to lead. I don't think that I can speak to a lot of the specific ideas right now because we're in that process of going back to the table. I mean, I got on the phone here in the BTU office right after we left the negotiations table, and we're not done. You know, we have a lot more listening to do. So I think in terms of what the opportunities are right now is the opportunity to listen to teachers, to go around to schools, to get more suggestions and to take those to the table.
But, Lee, I mean, I guess that you helped write this contract, and, you know, so you're talking about all the future, but how did you – where did you get the ideas? What city, what school system are using these ideas and have done it in a way that really changes their school system?
I don't think that the ideas that we had a vote on last week are the ideas that I'm still going to talk about. I mean – certainly some of the framework came from other places, but I think that we were trying to do something new. We were trying to do something innovative because our situation, Baltimore isn't like anywhere else necessarily. And the combination of state laws that we're facing, the combination of circumstances in our district, making the incredible progress that we've been making over the last few years, which, by the way, teachers are responsible for that progress. And I think that our situation is different, and I think that it's going to call for a different contract.
I just feel like, you know, I think that one of the callers called about how teachers are smart, and daily they have to deal with what works and what doesn't work. And really, to take such a leap from what we've had before, we're willing to do it. But really, you have to give us some credit. You have to respect us enough to say, here's where it's worked. Here's this idea. Here's how it's going to be implemented. Just the vast amount of paperwork that this new contract, well, the one that we voted down, would demand. I have here on the...
So is there some place in particular, some model in particular that you like, that you think is doing something different, something innovative, something reform-minded that is working somewhere else for you?
I would love to sit down with you, Lee, and look at a lot of them. And I think that if you increased the negotiating committee to 50 people and 50 teachers and had meetings with them around the city, I bet you could get all kinds of great ideas. So, I mean, you're on the committee. I'm not. You were the one who helped write this contract and brought it to us without any kind of background information or testing. And so you're the one I'm kind of focusing on. There are no ideas here that have been tested that I know of.
Well, I don't know what other school system that is out there that's doing something that I really like. I think a lot of the concerns you've brought up are things that we should all be concerned about. And I think we're going to try not to repeat the mistakes that are made other places.
We're out of time, but what I would have asked you is, but just because they haven't been tried doesn't mean they shouldn't be tried.
Absolutely right. That's right. That's very true. Very good. You got a good point.
Thanks. Better made than I was making it.
Lee Rutledge, thank you so much. Zeke Berzoff-Cohen, thanks for coming in the last second. Peter French, good to have you in the studio. All of you teachers, thanks for calling in and being part of this discussion. We will continue this, and we'll be calling to Dr. Andre Alonzo's office to see if we can get him to join us very soon to talk more about this. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We're going to talk about the mortgage crisis in America, and some of you who didn't get through on this line, I would love to talk about that, so stay with us for the next discussion.